Turn with me, please, to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, I was reading through this passage recently in studying for one of my other messages, and the Lord just spoke to my heart about something that we as Christians need to be aware of. How many of you have ever had a vehicle that drained the battery on a regular basis? And you had to keep taking it in to get it worked on to try to find out where the drain was. I know on our big bus out here, we had problems with that thing draining down. It's got two massive batteries in it and draining down. We just can't afford to keep replacing those. So they put in a big cutoff switch, which cuts off the power immediately because we couldn't find what was draining it down. And, the same thing can happen to us as believers. And I thought about this in the context of what's shared with us here in James chapter 3. And I want to begin reading at verse 13. We'll read through the end of the chapter. And we're going to consider the subject of wisdom drain. Wisdom drain. Verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show it. All right, that's a better translation. Let him show it out of a good conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom. In other words, if there's a wise man, somebody that has understanding, let him use that wisdom and understanding with humility. All right, notice. But, conjunction of contrast, if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthy, sensual, devilish. So we have two types of wisdom contrasted here. All right? It's a wisdom, the second one here, that comes from the human heart, calls itself wisdom, but in reality, it's earthly, it's fleshly, and it's downright devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, those that make peace are wise ones, right? Foolish ones don't care whether there's disruption to peace or not. But a wise person wants to maintain the peace. And the Bible says that we're to be as wise as serpents and harmless as what? Doves. That's the perfect exercise of wisdom. That's what shows outwardly. I want to share some thoughts with you tonight. Let's ask the Lord to help us as we look to His Word this evening. Father, I thank You so much for this passage. It is so rich with understanding, and I pray that You would help us to realize that the world only will see Your wisdom as it's exercised in the lives of people who are believers. They can see it in action. And I pray that You might help us to realize that it's possible to allow wisdom that comes from Thee to be squandered and to be drained away in useless efforts that do not bring Thee glory and as a result do not help Your people. And so I pray that You would awaken our hearts tonight as we consider this subject of wisdom drain, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Back many, many years ago, we had an old lawnmower, and we had changed the oil on it, pulled the plug, and let it drain. Well, somebody came along the next day. We hadn't finished changing the oil, started it up, took off with it. Now, you can imagine what happened. The motor burned up in it because all the oil was drained out of it. That which lubricated the engine was gone. Now, if the person had taken the time to put the plug back in, fill it up, I've always had a personal practice. After that event, I learned something. I said, you know what? If I'm going to change my oil, I'm going to do it all at one sitting, get it done, so I don't do something like that, all right? Because I'm just going to pull it. I'll come back tomorrow and fix it. Well, if you don't communicate that to somebody, they'll end up, somebody will come along, take it for a spin, not realizing that the oil is gone, and ruin the whole thing. Now, wisdom does not originate with us. I'm going to say that again. Wisdom does not originate with us. Where does wisdom come from? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So stop right there. Stop right there. Let's look at the evaluation then. If wisdom does not start with me, I've got to get wisdom from outside myself. I get wisdom from this book. Amen. Because this is God's wisdom. And if I try to live my life just living on bits and pieces of this book during the day, I am not going to have the wisdom that I need to exercise myself among my peers, among students that are in the classroom, people out here at the ballpark, because I'm not energizing myself with God's wisdom. Now, it's easy to think, you know what? Once you get wisdom, you always have it. You know how many times that's been proven false through the years? We have seen individuals, we have witnessed in our own lives, where we knew better and we did it anyway. Right? We knew better, we knew we shouldn't have done it, but we did it anyway because we thought, you know, maybe it'll be a different outcome. All right? Maybe it'll come out differently. Now, what is wisdom? What is wisdom? I think it's basic that we understand definitions. I don't want to assume everybody understands what the Bible says is wisdom. I've already told you it doesn't originate with us. It comes from who? That wasn't very loud. Say it louder, please. God! All right. Yeah. Sorry if you shout back at me. I won't get upset. Yeah. Now, James will show what wisdom is here. Wisdom is taking what God gives and allowing it to craft a second word that's found here. Do you see it? Wisdom and what? Understanding. Wisdom comes from God, and that wisdom, when it's applied, changes my understanding of things. Why do I not support liberal causes? Because wisdom from God says liberal causes are corrupt. All right? For the most part, they are. There may be shades of good. Just like there's shades of good in rat poison. Now, Dr. Hobbs used to always say that rat poison was 99% grain, 1% poison. And how much does it take to kill the rat? That one little percent. Okay? Now, is grain good? Wheat all right? Yeah, it's great. But I'm not going to recommend for you to go down there to Shavers and get a big load of rat poison and chew on it because it's mostly grain. We understand something. That's poison. All right? Wisdom from God helps me to understand the world, the flesh, the devil, and gives me some inkling into what's wrong with my heart. Wisdom from God crafts understanding. What is understanding? Understanding is the ability to know what to do and what not to do. That's understanding, all right? Is it good understanding to go pull the plug and drain the oil? See you tomorrow. Yeah. Nobody's going to come in here. Nobody's going to use this tonight. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Aircraft. Now, we have a pilot here. Maintenance individuals, all right? Do they take their job seriously? Mm-hmm. Ooh. Yeah. Is that a good thing to find out at 35,000 feet? Something going on here with this as you're flying along, you know, over the ocean. Yeah. For the most part, maintenance personnel, I remember Adam and I were on a flight out of Destin or Fort Walton, whatever the name of that airport is, and it was an Allegiant flight. And we sat there and we sat there and we sat there, and all of a sudden a maintenance guy comes in, plops his tool bag down, pops the top off of this metal thing. We're sitting there and they're working down at our feet, and he pulls this thing up and flips it over, and there's wires everywhere. Okay? Takes his flashlight. He's looking down in a hole, and he's messing with something like that. Pulls it over, puts it down, puts one screw in it, and gave the thumbs up to the pilot. Now, Dr. J.B. Williams, who used to be a great preacher that used to come here often, often said that whenever things surprised him, he almost swallowed his gum. I'm sitting there, what did he just mess with? The man did not instill confidence, okay? He's down there, I'm looking. He's down there, and then to flip the thing over so casually as he did, one screw, out the door. You don't know what's going to happen. You know, you have no idea. Every pilot, every person on that aircraft has put their faith in somebody they've never seen before in their life. You assume a lot when you get on an airplane, right? You assume that all the maintenance people care. Yeah. How many of you think every maintenance person cares? Oh, Mr. Naive comes out. Oh, of course. They're a member of a union. And we all know that union members care, right? No, they care about money, you know? Here's the point. Do all people that handle your luggage care? I sat out the window on my flight back from Tampa. Okay, I had to check my baggage because they had no room in the fuselage for that today. And I'm looking out the window, and there comes the thing whipping around. And guess what I see on there? My luggage thing I just left at the gate, went down, sat down, and watched it. And the guy picked it up. Whoop, and I hear a thud. And I said, Lord, please. I've got my iPad in there. Please help it not to be busted. All right. Now, maybe I should have kept it with me, but I packed it really good down in the center there. But he hit that thing. He just chunked it. Whoop. And he basically did that to every bag. Okay. Just throwing it. They were in a hurry. Got to get to the next airplane. Now, if the mechanics do the same thing to the plane, how many of you would keep flying? Most of us would keep flying, wouldn't we? We don't know whether they do that or not, right? We accept by faith that this jet is going to get me down to Tampa, or it's going to get me to Atlanta. I have no idea. I never met the maintenance personnel. I don't know who they are. I don't know what they did to the plane. When they hooked the hose up to the wing to put fuel in, I don't know if they put enough. No, I'm not allowed to check that. And I wouldn't know what to do anyway. All right? What's that? Yeah, you check it. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, because I'm chintzy on gas. I'll stop sometimes. Oh, look at that price. $5 I'll put in there, you know. And can you imagine if they do that with a jet? Hey, we're cutting back on our spending here. Hey, we're just going to put enough for the flight. What is enough? What happens if a thunderstorm comes up and they have to go to another airport? Is that going to be enough? Are you getting my picture here, folks? Wisdom from God should have an impact on understanding. What if it doesn't? What if you don't allow God's wisdom to impact your understanding about life and what honors God and what pleases God? And you're just worried about yourself. Well, the Bible talks about that. It switches immediately to another kind of wisdom at that point. Because you got to have some kind of wisdom to go by, right? So if I don't allow God's wisdom to affect understanding, what's going to happen? Then this other wisdom kicks in. This other wisdom is sensual. It's devilish. When I was growing up, I loved deviled ham. Anybody ever eaten deviled ham? Three people in the whole auditorium. Four. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. When we grew up, they used to have these cans wrapped in paper. Anybody remember? The deviled ham can. And it had this little devil there with his pitchfork. All right? I remember seeing them stacked in the kitchen there. And boy, I loved the taste of that deviled ham. It was so good. But I always thought as a child, how could this ham be from the devil? I just couldn't get that in my mind. I asked Mom a dozen times and said, is this ham really from the devil? Because it sure tastes good. And Mom used that as an illustration to us. Yeah, the devil always tempts you with things that are good. That's all right for you to have this ham. But you better watch out for those things that the devil will put in your pathway in life, because they're going to sure look good. That's the idea behind devilish. Satan never puts unattractive things in your pathway. Can we wise up about that? We have a tendency to think of Satan as this grotesque creature that's wandering along, and he's so ugly and so nasty and so over like that. That's not the devil that's pictured in the Bible. The Bible says he's an angel of light. He acts as a minister of righteousness. Minister of light. He's a liar. And what happens to people that don't have good understanding? They believe what? Lies. They believe the lies. You know, all the stuff that's going on in politics today and the news media, you don't know what's the truth and what's a lie hardly anymore. Have anybody noticed that? It is so difficult. You have to read and read and read and read, and even then you don't know whether it's all true or not. They came out and said the whole thing with the dossier, Steele dossier, was all false. It was all... So, no, we kind of knew that. But they solidified that, and then the news media are out there doing protection coverage. Oh, this is a whole lot of nothing here. Really? You lied to us for 4 years, and that's a whole lot of nothing? Folks, when you step away from the wisdom of God that comes down upon you, and you don't allow it to affect your understanding about how to live life and how to make decisions and choices, then you immediately switch over into this mode. You take the wisdom, which the Bible said, notice the descriptive words that are used here. Earthly, sensual, fleshly, devilish. That all of a sudden becomes your wisdom base. And now that's affecting your understanding. Is your understanding going to steer you in the right direction? No. You're going to end up going the wrong direction. How is it that so many quote-unquote Christian ministries go wrong? Oh, we've watched this through the years. So many. They start making decisions and choices, and they start letting the world capture their thinking, and they shift from God's wisdom to affect their understanding over here to this other wisdom that's earthly and sensual and devilish. That means it has the element of deceit and lies in it. And that starts on impacting our understanding. So now we're understanding things that are not right. And we start making decisions and start making choices on what we should be doing, and we're making wrong decisions and wrong choices because we stepped away from God's wisdom and wouldn't let it impact our understanding. And we stepped over here and we start letting the world's wisdom, the devil's wisdom, affect our understanding. This wisdom drain is real. It's real. Here you have access. Let any man that lacketh wisdom ask of God, who giveth to all men, how? Liberally, and upbraideth not. What does that mean, by the way? Upbraideth not. In other words, he doesn't say, how dare you ask me? You know? Well, who are you to ask me? You're just a little human being. He doesn't do that. You know, whenever Preston, he loves strawberry milk. All right? So he's gotten into a pattern lately. Whenever I get home for lunch, Poppy, can you make me some strawberry milk? All right? Now, strawberry milk is fine, okay? But sometimes it's better to have some water instead of strawberry milk. Because I didn't know what strawberry milk was myself until I was out of high school, okay? Every once in a while we'd have it. We had the old powdered strawberry. Anybody remember the old Hershey's powdered stuff? And we'd get the mix up. We thought that was gold, you know? It only came out every once in a while, you know? And where is it hiding today? Because Mom had it hidden so we wouldn't get to it. But, you know, usually it was water, or we'd get tea or milk in the morning. But Preston got strawberry milk. And so today I got home. He said, Poppy, I want chocolate milk. And I said, well, we have to ask Mimi. Okay? Now, he hates that. Okay? I'm not throwing my wife under the bus. She's Miss Healthy. Right? Okay? And I go in there and say, oh, well, you know, Preston, I said, you still have some strawberry milk left over. So you're going to have that. You're going to have that, or you're going to have water. You know, I'll take it. You know, whatever I can get, you know, in that regard. Now, God doesn't do that. When we come and ask for wisdom, He doesn't chide us. Oh, you're back again. You think you're going to get some more? No, He doesn't do that. He doesn't upbraid. He says, I will give unto all liberally. I'll just keep pouring it in. But what happens when He pours it in and I say, well, you know what? I'll use a little bit. I'm gonna save the other rest. And then I don't let it affect my understanding. I'm in a movement now. I'm moving away from what? God's wisdom. I'm moving over this way because I'm not using it. It's not impacting my understanding. And so I start embracing another wisdom. That's the way it always is, folks. That's why ministries crumble and fall apart. We have got to stop and evaluate what's going on today. America, churches, Christian colleges have stepped away from the wisdom of God and they've embraced the wisdom of the world. Bring it in. We want to be like other colleges. We want to do it their way. And what happens? Churches, we don't want to do it like we used to do. That's boring. What's boring about worshiping God? I want to do it my way. Oh, you want to do it the world's way? You see what I'm saying? We've not allowed God's wisdom to impact what? Understanding. We've skipped that part. And when we do, we move immediately over to the other side. I'm going to stop there tonight. I hope that I will whip some appetites here. We're going to talk about these two words again. But do you realize that the word that's used here has to do with moral reasoning? These verses of Scripture here, you'll notice this. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth, those are all moral terms. Every one of them, moral terms. This is talking about moral reasoning, the ability of determining what's right and what's wrong. And if you don't let God's wisdom rule your life and rule your understanding, you'll start skewing things and you'll start approving things that are wrong instead of approving things that are right. Your moral reasoning will be drained away. And it will not be helpful. It will not be useful to your family, to your ministry, to your greater group of friends and family members and so forth, because you've allowed the plug to be pulled. And it's draining out because you chose to step away from God's wisdom, which is moral. It's righteous. It's good. It's uncontaminated. And it needs to affect our thinking. Father in heaven, I pray that you would stir us up. So easy to get into this mentality of the world and how the world thinks. We shouldn't care what the world has to say. We ought to care about what God has to say. We're supposed to be Christians, little Christs. And so many times we just are just enthralled with the world and how the world does things. And we need to step back from that brink. And we need to understand that the wisdom of God is first pure and then peaceable. It's pure, it's holy, it's righteous, it's untarnished by wickedness. I pray that we might love that kind of wisdom and reject the other type that is sensual, earthly, and devilish. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.